Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to have you on the program.
It's great to be on the program. Thanks, Dr.
Okay, very good. Chris, we visited a little bit about what we're talking about today, but it's a subject that's always fascinated me because I remember examples of what we're going to talk about on several occasions, and it became very vicious and they didn't accomplish what they want. But it's trying to define it. And that's the issue of rationing. You know, governments love it. It's sort of like lockdown. Government officials love it. Give them something to do and make themselves feel important. But the whole thing is rationing is using government force to tell you what you can do with your money and your time and how you should live because they know what's best. It's an example of central economic planning where people would say, yeah, how do you pick and choose? How do you know what to do? Which is always the answer. You know, if government doesn't do it for us, how's it going to get done? Well, maybe we can do it ourselves. But that's what we do most of the time. Fortunately, it's still the exception when they put on real strict rules of rationing, but there's always some of it out there. But it's not new. It's been around for, you know, thousands of years. You know, as soon as there was coinage and money, there was always abuse and the prices would go up. And they say, there's not enough money, there are shortages. And they would always say it was the consumer and the businessman that was causing it. So therefore, they had to take control of supply and demand to provide and take care of the shortages. So there's been a choice throughout history. Do we trust the people to ration their time and their money and work in their own self-interest and see how that works? And there's been pretty good examples of this. Our early history, that's basically the way most things were done because we didn't have government with rationing boards to tell us, well, here are your stamps, you can buy so much of this or that. So it's something that's been around, but it's getting worse. The 20th century certainly got worse for us. And in my short lifetime, historically speaking, I saw two examples of them. I remember it very clearly. In World War II, I remember we had a little dairy and we had to collect stamps because butter was rationed and eggs were rationed. And we as kids would help our parents, you know, run the little business. So we had to collect those little stamps because they got the stamps and they were allowed to buy so many pounds of butter. And you had meat was rationed. It was very clear in our mind that something was definitely different than previously. But also in the Korean War, they did that too. But then I got to thinking, that's not the only time. Rationing is with us all the time because of what the government is involved. That's what central economic planning does. And usually, maybe always, when the government gets involved in trying to iron out some flaws that they created and have rationing to make sure. What about in the 70s when there was a shortage of gasoline because of regulation and prices? And so they had to ration. And so the bureaucrats got involved. It was a terrible decade, you know, for prices going up. Prices were going up for other reasons. But then the rationing made it much worse, especially in energy. So that has continued. And people believe this is a solution, but it doesn't. Ironically, it makes everything worse. You know, there's more shortages, and it causes people to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't even do. You know, they end up breaking the law because they might get hungry and decide they want to buy something. And one story I tell that I think is a little makes a good point, because my dad was very strict. He was a follower of the government rules. He was a good Christian person that went and believed, you know, you don't cheat, lie, or do anything. And you obey the laws even when they look bad. But, you know, it was during World War II, I remember, I probably was just under 10 because I was 10 when the war ended, that every weekend on a Saturday, a truck rolled in to a little grocery store across the street from the police department, and everybody in town knew when the black market meat was coming in. So, and my dad went there and bought the meat. which didn't fit his character. But I can just imagine that he thought, the whole town was there buying meat. And he probably thought we had five boys. He says, maybe I should try to get some meat for them because it's shortages otherwise. But that was one example that introduced me to these ideas. But in ancient times, they did it in Roman times. When finally the inflation would get out of control, they had to blame something else as we do today. You're never allowed to blame the government or the monetary officials, the people who have all the power, because they will know how to ration it. So if there's a shortage of money and prices are too high, this is what we have to do. We have to sort it out, and that to me is a tragedy. And I think we're moving in that direction, and we'll talk today a little bit about how it's expanding into things other than goods and services. Chris.
Right, Dr. Paul. And we thought of this topic because we're seeing that those who are interested in getting themselves a vaccine, they're, obviously having issues, a slew of issues. And, it's really no surprise. We knew from the very beginning, and people could go back over to last year and watch our shows, that once government got involved with this COVID, that their policies would create much more havoc than the virus itself. And it's exactly what happened. We're reading that more people will die from the policies of lockdowns than from the disease. Yesterday, I read on College Fix, I believe, that teenagers are 10 times more likely to die of suicide than COVID. So government came in, took a problem, and added a slew of problems on top of it. And it was all in the name of the pretext of science, when a few individuals would get on television and tell us one thing, and that was the science. And then the next day, they would say something totally different, and then that was the science. Whatever they say is the science. And we've covered the tests, you and Daniel, over and over. We've seen so many charts over this year. So is it any surprise now we're at the vaccine phase that we're having all these issues? I mean, are Americans gluttons for punishment? We're expecting a different result. When government is involved, this is what you get. And that's why this is not the role of government in a free society. It's actually the exact opposite of what America's founders thought, what we believe is the role of government. And until we change that attitude, we're just going to be swimming in problems.
Yes, and many of the problems we face today is a consequence of, the business cycle turning down, as it always does with the Fed manipulating interest rates, and also with the virus, definitely the way it was handled in lockdown. This all participated in people not working in a free market. All of a sudden, they lose their jobs, they lose their income. So the government has to get in and ration the money. And of course, the rationing of the money and the passing out of the money is never fair and equal. Some people who absolutely don't deserve 1 cent, they might get a lot more than the person that got nothing and didn't have a job and their kids are starving. So it's not a good system. The crises can come in different ways. Sometimes, or most of the time, it's usually government related directly. It's wartime and some other events. But there's also some natural events. In Texas, we have hurricanes coming in. Sometimes we have ice storms coming in. Our ice storm, quite frankly, I believe was partially to the fact that we had an ice storm, but in reality, the problem came from us not being prepared because the government was rationing energy. I mean, we were 30% on renewable energies, which they think that's going to save the world. And there's not enough evidence to prove that at all. And we were just burning off the gas. There's too much gas, and they didn't know what to do with it, so they just flared it off. So that's the crazy stuff that went on. But nevertheless, these crises come for a different reason. And then it becomes very politicized. Look how the freeze here in Texas has become politicized. Who's to blame, and what are we going to do, and whom are we going to bail out? And it goes on and on. And then there's this idea of, under these circumstances, you can make a profit. And this is one that gets me the most. In a hurricane. Hurricane comes in. Preparation should be done by individuals, and man should help prevent the worst disaster. But the profiteering automatically comes. Let's say you're in a place which is relatively remote, not in New York City or any place like that. And all of a sudden you get hit in a town in, say, Louisiana or Texas, and really hit badly. And it's trouble getting gasoline. And gasoline had been $2 a gallon before the storm hits. And all of a sudden, there's a shortage, and some people really need their gasoline. And so they find the gas station over there, and it's $3 a gallon. Boy, I tell you, the politicians jump on that. See, we got to take care of that. They're gouging. They're the evil people. It's all the businessman's fault. Not realizing that their effort then to ration it and say, well, you can't buy more than 1 gallon, and you don't have to pay more than $2. And yet, under the emergency, it might cost a lot more money to drive a lot further with a gasoline truck. There might be a lot of danger. Some of these people who come to help out might work all night long, and there's a cost for this. But if you interfere with this cost, you're not going to solve the problem, but you're going to be a really bad guy, you know, taking advantage of it. But it's very important to allow prices to help sort this out. Because if gasoline goes to $4, believe me, the trucks will roll in. Somebody will be willing to drive all night then, and all of a sudden the emergencies disappear. But if you persist and you have a determined do-good government, I am not going to let anybody get anything for more than $2 a gallon. And if you accept that approach, believe me, it gets much worse. It lasts a lot longer, and they have no confidence in the market. So sorting all this out is pretty important. But basically, when government comes in with a lot of rules and regulations, they're already interfering in the marketplace, and then a crisis hits, the answer is not to get more government. And I think the more complex something is, regardless of if it's a hurricane or a virus that's hitting the community and you need to get medications around, the more complex it is, the less government you need, because bureaucrats aren't all as smart as they pan themselves out to be. Matter of fact, some of them aren't smart at all. And then we give them too much power. Listen to them. What are you going to say today? How are we going to do this? That doesn't work. And yet this is so often what happens, that people resort to somebody telling them what to do and letting the market work this out and solve the problem. And that's why you need a free market. You need pricing is what you need. In the same way, you need really in the economy, when you mess around with the price of money, the interest rates, it helps to lead to the economic crisis we have. But even in the midst of an emergency, interest rates are very, very important that they're market related. But when they're absolutely controlled by the Federal Reserve and they take them down to zero, it makes no sense whatsoever. And all you do is build up trouble for the future. And you have the financial and other bubbles that are forming that will plague us in our effort to recover. So this whole idea of rationing going into the hands of the bureaucrats and the politicians who look at the money that people can make. Now, I could, you know, led to the criticism of thinking that price gouging isn't what I'm worrying about. But I am concerned about the people who are able to manipulate government regulations and appropriations and distribution of drugs and services and tell people when they can go to the doctor, this sort of thing. And a lot of people have made a lot more money you know, in this environment, and it hasn't been because they were gouging somebody for gasoline. It's because they're in bed with the government and taking advantage of some of these crises that are coming more often, and something we will be forced to address.
Yes, and hopefully we're helping to change some minds, because in America, so many people are afraid of freedom and free markets. They're just afraid of it. It's like the unknown for them. But, you know, just imagine what this vaccine situation would be like. There would be options galore, for sure. There wouldn't be an FDA bottleneck. And perhaps there would be other treatments that wouldn't have to go through some bureaucratic maze to get to people. We don't know, because we don't have the option of having that right now. And, you know, when you're dealing with people that do not have the ability to use force against you, like businesses on their own, then the attitude is much different. They want you to come in, buy, come on in, buy more. Government, when you deal with them, it's stay home, use less water, wait in line, They're always restricting. It's a totally different attitude. You're not treated as a customer that they want to come back. You're treated as a burden, because that's the incentive structure between companies, free market, and the government. And it's not perfect, but there's an incentive to treat you with respect. They want you to come back a company. They want your money. They don't want you to go to a competitor. Now, what happens when you get that letter from the DMV or the Social Security, any bureaucratic, you're like, ah, you have to go deal with them now, because their incentives are different. You have no choice but to deal with them. So you're treated accordingly. And it's the same with crony corporations. We all know who they are, that they have manipulated the legal process to have a monopoly. And dealing with them is like dealing with the government. It's terrible. So we have more to fear from having to deal with government and crony corporations than the free market. And that attitude has to shift in this country once again.
Very good. You know, when wage and price controls were put on, that was a deliberate act in World War II, I'm thinking about, as well as the Korean War. It was always wage and price controls. It wasn't just price controls and trying to get the price gougers. The unions were blamed, the working man was blamed, and he's asking more for wages. So when it came on, it was a wage control too. So sometimes people think, well, only the lefties who want to regulate for good reasons, keep the prices down so poor people can buy it, and they get this emotional defense of it. They don't realize that principle applies to wages too, and they did. Especially, I remember clearly about Nixon, and I'm sure it was the case in World War II, is you can't raise wages either. So when you concede that they can do some of these regulations for good things, you're really allowing them to do it much more. And the other argument they use is, oh, we're only going to do a little bit. We have to provide a little bit of safety, and we have to provide a little bit of safety and ability for people to get along at the margin. And yeah, even when you go, and I remind myself of the income tax. Income tax, if you read the history of that, 1913, it's just going to be a little bit for the rich people. Yes, the rich people were immediately able to avoid the whole thing. Other people had a little bit, but that little bit meant you conceded 100% of the principle that the government owns our income. Oh, yes, it was a little bit, didn't bother many people, and still we get along. But now, really, a large percentage, more than 50% of the people don't pay income tax, which is good. But it also means they'll just print the money. And the tax becomes the tax on the increase in prices, because it's the devaluation of the currency. So it's a no-win game for them to keep saying, well, we'll just give a little bit of help, and not realizing it's 100% of the principle. And that's why I have told myself, stick to the principle, because even though people say, this is just a little bit, why are you objecting to this budget? It's only upteen billions of dollars. Well, someday it'll go to billions, and some days it'll go to trillions of dollars, and some days, it'll get out of control, because the principle can't be defended. Because if you concede the principle, both the conservatives and liberals, Republicans and Democrats, can't oppose it, because it's all done for this purpose of taking care of people. It's going to be humanitarian and compassionate. And that's the way so much of this stuff started. Because if you oppose it, even when I took the position that we shouldn't be going into all these wars, they paint one as being unpatriotic and un-American and disapproving of the troops, which makes no sense whatsoever. But that's the demagoguery that comes all this. So when you accept a little bit of government, the Democrats, the demagogues come alive, and they make good use of it, and they keep getting reelected. And just think about it. How much, yes, there's a little bit of argument going on now, because we've only spent $7 or $8 or $9 trillion in the past year. Now we want to spend $2 trillion more. But now we have the conservatives out of power. Oh, we're going to fight this. We're going to show them how determined we are, and we're going to fight this bill. But believe me, they endorsed it just a few years ago. So they endorsed the principle a long time ago. And if you don't deal with this in principles, there is going to be not much of an argument, because we'll continue to do what we're doing until this whole thing comes down on us. Chris.
Dr. Paul, I will finish up. The main issue that we're discussing revolves around this government corporation partnership. And they've got everybody on the left and the right. And, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs and business people that watch us. And I have a question. If you sell a product or service, what if you got a call from government and they tell you, you know, we're going to mandate that everyone in this country is going to have to buy your product or your service? I mean, what would that do for you financially? You'd immediately become a part of the crony billionaire class. And this is what's very disappointing, is the left champions this kind of stuff, maybe unknowingly, I don't know. But whether it be war that benefits the military-industrial complex, minimum wage laws are big business, censorship is big tech, lockdowns were big business, vaccines are big pharma. I mean, if you're in big anything in this country, the left is your best friend. But then you have this other side where the left then turns around and they complain. Look at all these billionaire cronies. They have all this money while all of us are suffering. Well, whether you know it or not, you're the one that called for this. You got exactly what you wanted. So what we as libertarians are trying to point out over and over using all these examples is we need to separate corporation and state. And what that means and what the left and the right has to accept is when you have that, it means you have a government with much less power. And that is what we need. And that is what we always are calling for.
Very good, Chris. I want to mention one other aspect of this. It's a little bit different than just, rationing and backing off from something. But it's worse, and that's called prohibition. They go all the way, and they start off with the idea, none of this. And I'm thinking of, the drug war and prohibition of alcohol. Look at the tragedy of prohibition of alcohol. There's a tragedy of alcohol still today. And also, the prohibition was worse, and that's why it was repealed. Same way with drugs. There was a prohibition against drugs and marijuana and all this stuff. And finally, people started waking up. So there's a large number of Americans now that say the drug war didn't work, so we're not going to do that. But that's just another form of rationing, that the government decides what's good or bad. And this is a long way from anybody ever accusing me that I'm sympathetic to that, because I happen not to be sympathetic to the abuse of alcohol and drugs. I think it's very dangerous. But quite frankly, it gets worse. Alcohol got worse. It was more contaminated and impure, and drugs are the same way. It's a cultural thing rather than just saying that we don't have enough laws. People do say, well, government has to protect me against doing certain things. And if we carry this out to its logic, I would say that the rationing now has become cultural and political. And this, to me, is going to be a lot more dangerous. So speech is rationing. Speech is rational today. What you can say and you can't say, you might get canceled. Cultural cancellation, and you lose your job, you lose all these things, and it's amazing how many people are going along with this. And Chris mentioned the risk of big business. Here the big business are supporting this nonsense. So it's a real tragedy of what's going on. But I think there's way too much prohibition and too much restraints on our freedom. So we're rationing our freedoms. And that probably is more serious than rationing meat in World War II, because our freedoms are being rationed. Some people are more equal than others. Some people are able to close down others. And the way it is set up now, we have this combination of big business and big government that literally are our censors. And the people are going along with this because it's for good reason. They're saying bad things. Well, I read a lot of the Dr. Seuss's books, and I read them to the kids. We have them in the house, but I didn't know they were bad. Here I was reading them to my kids, and here they're telling me how evil it was. So we have to cancel this guy, eliminate the thought of such a thing. And that to me is is the rationing that we have to be very, very careful about, rationing our liberties, and that's getting to be an epidemic right now. It's getting to be insane, and people are getting annoyed, and that's good. And sometimes when people are make fun of it, that's what I think is good about the Dr. Seuss affair. Matter of fact, more people read them than ever before. They have a market value that has gone up. But then we also have big business in cahoots with the government saying you can't even buy these books. What kind of nonsense is this? And then some people say, oh yeah, we want to live in a free society, but we can't let people just say anything they want. Why not? That's what the First Amendment is about. The First Amendment was written for the benefit of not being able to say anything you want and talk about the weather. It was to say the controversial thing, controversial ideas, criticize the government. That's what the First Amendment is all about. And this whole thing that it's all about Dr. Seuss, believe me, that is a stretch, and we'd like to change that. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.